Welcome back to the show, and what a valuable and insightful episode we have for you today. We are joined by Daniel Germain, who is a marketing science leader and senior data product manager. We will be focusing on how to know your business. How can we as data folks invest in the domain to get true business value? We'll be talking about the data product manager, maybe even leaving your ego at the door and maybe becoming an analyst for a bit longer, and so much more. Enjoy. Daniel, welcome. Know your business. Why are we talking about that today? And why is it important for data science?
Well, know your business. I think it's one of the things that most of companies are kind of struggling nowadays when working with data. That these days, every company, even the smallest one, has data profiles, data people working into business topics in order to improve, to optimize, to make things work better. But there's a kind of big struggle from the data profiles that are not willing to know the business, and they are mostly focused on being tech people. And this applies mostly to data engineering teams, data scientists, and even data analysts, which usually tends to try to be more like data scientists or working on advanced topic of analytics instead of staying on the business, which is the competitive advantage that these kind of roles have. So know your business, in my opinion, is one of the key things to success for a data person nowadays, in order to prove the value of data to the business. And I think it's the best way of boosting your data career instead of continue focusing on the technical, or let's say the deep understanding of data topics.
I think it's been highlighted even more so in recent times. Obviously, money is no longer cheap. Businesses are looking for value. Data functions are not cheap. They require an investment. So why are we investing in data, firstly of all? What's the biggest value we're getting?
I would say companies are investing in data because of the fear of missing out. Everyone knows and everyone is talking that data is the new oil, is the new oil of the companies. So everyone is trying to get data people to their companies, to their teams, and make them work. But what's the problem is that when you bring people together and you don't organize them under a well structure that is moving toward business instead of toward tech, as for example, software engineering, what happens is that you bring people to work in data, the results are not coming, and you bring more people because, again, you have the fear of missing out, because you know that at some point, one person from the data team will bring you a silver bullet to make your business grow and boost. So you keep pushing, it's just like you keep adding fuel to the to the company, but without any organization or any education towards what the business is doing, this is just, let's say, kind of like burning money. So the fuel that you're putting is actually to burn your budget instead of making it more efficient.
It's not a recent, it's not a recent occurrence. Maybe 2010, it was data science is the sexiest job in the world. So companies have been aware of the value of data, but why is it taking so long to understand what is actually required to get true value?
Yeah, I think that, as you mentioned, a couple of years ago, data scientists become very popular, but I think that, and this is something that I usually try to apply to my teams and to my jobs, is you cannot skip stages. So and I do the comparison usually like with the human being. So if we think about like how humans run, you have to think that first you have to stand up, then you have to walk, and then you have to run.
Yeah.
So if a company comes to me and says like, hey, Daniel, I would like to do data science, the first thing as a data person that you have to think about is like, okay, data science, do we have data governance, data management? Do we have analytics? Do we have the forgotten business intelligence team working? Do we have the solid foundations of data in order to go to data science? I think that sometimes companies are missing these points and they would like to go like from 0 to 100. And they just want to have like, hey, bring me a data scientist, bring me a machine learning engineer, and we will boost, I don't know, marketing, fraud prevention, recommendations engines, like everything, just with a data scientist and a machine learning engineer. But at the end, it's just like, what is the new oil is the data. So you have to start from the beginning. You cannot skip stages. And unfortunately, due to the urgency of companies to prove results, they just want to go to the last stage. They just want to run.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do all the preparation to get to that place where you can run.
So who's responsible for, I mean, data is decisions. That's what everyone's doing it for. Why is everyone rushing to better decisions and better decisions now? What's driving it?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that data is not decisions. Data is assisting decisions. And this is something that also, internal stakeholders sometimes confuses. So, for example, in my experience for the last 5 years, I was working with marketing teams, and it's something that takes time for your stakeholders to understand that you are just kind of advising them, kind of providing insights so that they can make the informed decision. Right. You cannot expect that the data team will just tell you what you have to do. It would be ideal, but in order to do that, you require that your data team knows your business. So you require that, for example, me as marketing science, that I know marketing, that I know if we are talking about pay media, how the pay media platform works. If we are talking about referrals, that I understand what's the dynamic behind the referrals. And this is something that not most of the data teams are doing. Because usually how companies structure data teams is just like, we have a technical team that has data scientists, and this data scientist sometimes works for, I don't know, marketing, sometimes work for product, sometimes work for even finance or HR. So it's difficult for the data people to come and say just like, hey, I will make the decision for you, because at the end, I don't know the business. So it is important that when we talk about data and decisions, that both parts understand that data will provide the insight, will support the decision, but at the end of the day, the decision is always on the business side.
So how are we, I mean, this goes into knowing your business and really understanding your domain. A lot of maybe smaller companies are centralized in their data functions because they can reach most of the business. At what point are we specializing, and should be advised to get into domain specific data teams?
In my experience, the best approach for a data team to succeed is to be domain specific, is to be close to the business. Fortunately, I was working always in marketing teams, on the data function. So I was really close to my business. And if you ask me, I think that's the competitive advantage, or that is the competitive advantage of my team compared to the rest of the structure. When sometimes you have, for example, a centralized data science team or business intelligence, or now, machine learning team that tries to provide support to the full company. That could be useful for, let's say, providing platform solutions for the company or for providing tools for the whole company. But if you want to solve some business specific problem, you require that your data team is part of that business. So that's why, for example, we don't talk about like data science in marketing. Mm-hmm. We already shrink it's like we put it all together. It's like marketing science.
Yeah. Are we, and what are we risking if we don't do this?
So the things that we are risking is the definition of the requirement. So for example, if let's imagine that we have a centralized data team mm-hmm. that provides support to any domain in the company. As technical people, what we usually try to do or what motivates us most of the time is apply new solutions. Mm-hmm. You know? So we are gonna be always focused more on the tech. I say like, hey, I was reading this article, I was watching this tutorial, I was reading about this paper, so I would like to apply this. So when the business requirement comes, what we are gonna be trying to do is try to modulate the requirement mm-hmm. right, to apply this new technology or this new approach that we were learning about. And I think that's kind of what happens with last year with LLMs. Everyone mm-hmm. was trying to apply LLM to any business domain. We don't even know if there was a problem to solve, but every company tried to have their implementation of generative AI mm-hmm. to solve a business problem that no one even knew that existed before that. So I think that the risk of having these centralized teams and not having data domain specific teams is this translation of the requirements. And also usually what happens is that your stakeholders are not clear with the requirements, or they also misunderstood what a data team can provide. Mm-hmm. That's talking about marketing because it's my domain. It's like, hey, I would like to optimize the budget that I spent in this channel.
Yeah.
Okay, that could be the requirement that comes to the central team. Mm-hmm. But how the channel works, how the budget is consumed, what are the things that come to play in that optimization is something that someone has to discover. So if in that case, if your stakeholder or your business counterpart is not very specific, most probably the data team will build something mm-hmm. that will not be solving the problem.
Do you think we should be evolving titles away from data science to maybe marketing science, business science, to really put emphasis?
Yes, actually, yes. I think that, and I try to make the comparison in my head as in medicine. Just like, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like you go to university, you study, you become a doctor. Cool, you're a doctor. Now, if you want to do a surgery, you have to take your time during the residency of surgery in order to then be able to do a surgery.
Yeah.
I think that here is the same. It's like, you got your, you prepare yourself to be a data scientist, and you have, let's say, the generic view of like what a data scientist could be doing. And mm-hmm. also this is something that is seen in the company's definition of like, who is a data scientist, who is a data analyst, or who is a machine learning engineer. It's always kind of mixed. And even now there's a new one, which is decision scientist. So I think that at some point, when we start working in data, we have like, part of our scope that must be defined. And mm-hmm. that definition comes with the business. And I think that what gives you the chances of success is your business knowledge. So for example, in my case, I am leading a marketing science team. And my advantage regarding all the data leads is that I know my domain. So if someone wants to do something within the marketing domain, mm-hmm. most probably will at the beginning will have more chances of failure because they're only thinking about like the data approach without analyzing like what the business needs and how the business works. So I think that every data person, and I would like to make this broad, so data engineer and data analyst, data scientist, decision scientist, and also the new one now, business scientist, which I think is what we have to do, is like that what we have to go towards, is like, hey, you come with your data background, and when you join a new company, when you join in a new position, the first thing that you have to do is like invest time in knowing your business, so that then you can define and you can choose the battles where with your data background you can provide insights.
So what's holding us back? What's stopping companies from moving into this?
Well, I have an example about like how, for example, the hiring process is usually goes. When you're hiring for a new position in data, usually just like the requirements are like data background, of course, depending on the seniority, you have different skills. Then that the person ideally worked in some project similar to the ones that you have in your in your portfolio. And at the end, it's just like, okay, business domain. And when you interview people and you have like these discussions with all the hiring managers of people that participate in the role, usually there's one thing that everyone says, just like, hey, the business can be learned. If it has the data background, the business can be learned. Great. Totally agree. The business can be learned. Now the person joins. And the first thing, just like, okay, we have, we working with this agile framework, you have to deliver this, and that. And no one allocates time to know, just like, hey, this is our business. This is how we do recommendations. This is how we do marketing. This is how we do, I don't know, supply chain. Take your time, getting into the basics of marketing. And once you feel comfortable about this, let's start thinking about like how we can work on it. It's kind of surprising, but you have people sometimes that were part of teams of marketing or supply chain or fraud that they never learned about, like, hey, how do we do fraud, or what other companies do in fraud? So at the end, it's just like the thing that we also usually say in the hiring process, like, this can be learned. We then never give them the chance. And also something that must be also considered is like that the person that is joining must be willing to learn. And this is also something that happens sometimes, not now, because I think that now companies are way more picky with the profile that they are hiring. But I think that 3 or 4 years ago, when there was still like the boom in the pandemics of like everything working, like the digital era was like in a boost. Companies were having kind of like, hey, we have a pool of hiring. So we interview dozens of data profiles. And then we are going to be defining just like, okay, who goes to marketing, who's going to be working with Daniel, who's going to be working, I don't know, with Matt, and who's going to be working with Joseph. But at the end, just like, if the person that is joining is not willing to work with Daniel because he's not interested in marketing, then it doesn't matter if the person is just like, I don't know, it's the best ML engineer in the world. He will be always having something that is going to be pulling him back of showing all their potential.
Who's taking ownership of this? And I know we've spoken previously, and you're a fan, or you've been on board with the data product manager. So tell us more about that profile and what your thoughts are there.
Well, I think that the data product manager is the role that comes to partially solve this problem. And why I say partially, because ideally we should have the data product manager, and also we should be having the data profiles willing to be part of the business. No, but I think that companies found in the data product manager, the DPMs, kind of the solution to try to reduce the gap between the business and the tech. Why is this? Because usually the teams has a lead, and the lead is always a technical lead. It's a person that is usually most experienced from the technical side in order to define just like data approaches, modeling, implementations. So the tech lead is not the suitable person, or let's say it should be, but currently it's not the suitable person to reduce this gap. So pairing the tech lead with the DPM makes this distance to the business shorter. But the question is just like, okay, it's difficult to find data people that has business background. So how can we find, let's say, a business person, a DPM, with a bit of data background, so that also your data team recognizes in the DPM a person that is bringing value and is not just another stakeholder.
Do you think it would be easier to find a business PM and get them up to speed with data? Or do you think it's a real challenge getting a technical person who likes the process to think about the bigger business picture?
I think that nowadays it's easier to have the first one. It's easier to have a business person that starts moving towards data, especially because nowadays data is kind of, let's say, democratized. It's like everyone has access to tools, everyone has access to learning material. Now there's no need for a business person to know or to do like a 2 or 3 years career in order to apply some kind of like predictions, segmentations algorithm, or to try at least a minimum viable product in order to identify if there is an opportunity with data. So I think that the business people that have interest in moving to roles more like tech or data driven has really the competitive advantage, because they know the problem they have to solve, and they have now easy access to tools. So I think that at some point, very technical profiles in terms of data at the moment should be worried. I think they should be start thinking about like, okay, now with, and I think that the example is quite clear, no? It's like, now with ChatGPT, if you answer or any of these generative AI tools, if you ask the right question, you will get a response of at least where to focus.
Yeah.
So who knows how to ask the right question? The business people. So if business people ask the right questions, I'm not saying that the output would be the ideal one, but will be good enough, rather than if you compare to a person that is going to be still thinking about like, I have the answer, but I don't have the question. So is this useful?
So kind of bringing those home. So do you think the technical and the business will split completely, so that we need the platform, the data quality, and the technical data people will be focused on data quality almost, but then the data scientists will need to be as close to business and business value as possible? There's almost a divide that's going to be needed.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, I think that companies should focus a lot in defining, let's say, the right data, having a strong foundations of data generation and data management from the technical perspective. And then from the exploitation side, I think it should be more on the business side. So if you are working as a data scientist, you should not be afraid of being considered a part of the business, even mm-hmm. though that we know based on historical behavior that data roles are always considered tech roles because of the technical background.
Yeah.
And sometimes data people feel kind of like a downgrade when they see like, okay, now I'm part of the business. Mm-hmm. I think they should not be seeing it on that way. And if at some point you have the chance of experience this as a data person, just like, hey, I'm working in the business domain and I compare myself, my understanding and my solutions to the solutions that maybe a centralized data team can produce, you will be able to see the differences, like how more informed you are in order to start the process of getting the informed insights for your stakeholder.
Yeah, you can have the best trained, fine-tuned LLM, the sexiest tools, but if it's not creating value, it's worthless.
Yeah, because actually you mentioned now something very interesting, like this kind of, like, for example, fine-tune. Okay, fine-tune for what? For gaining 0.01 of better accuracy or better precision to solve or to make a prediction. It's like, okay, I think that most companies are not at that level of sophistication to require these technical people that do that level of fine-tuning or specific solutions. So now what we need is, like, we have a lot of business problems that we need to understand how to tackle with data. And I think that there's no company, I would say, yeah, of course, maybe the big fours have the chance to focus on improving this kind of, like,
yeah,
very, very, very specific algorithms, which then we all use. But in general, companies has more common problems that we need to understand first and then try to provide the solution. And also, it's not only this of provide the solution, it's provide the solution, test it, prove that it's working on the business, mm-hmm. and then move into or another project, or do a fine-tuning if we see that there is a chance of getting a return of investment of our time in getting this, like, 0.1, 0.2 improvement.
So to progress your career, solve the business problems, not the technical problems.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Business problems is what we are hired for. I was not hired to develop a fancy machine learning pipeline that automates, I don't know, all our marketing investment. Ideally, I should be getting there, but again, that would be like running the marathon, and I first have to start walking and understanding, for example, like, okay, how we do things, how the business do the things, how we can start going toward this end-to-end, for example, pipeline. But you cannot jump from one stage to another without doing the training.
Better to walk in the right direction than to sprint in the wrong one.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's a fantastic way to round us off. I'm conscious of time. Where can we find more about what you're up to this year? What are you excited about? How can people ask you more questions if they have them?
Well, actually, I'm really excited about this year. After a couple of years working in marketing, I will be jumping to another domain. So usually when we talk about marketing, we talk about user acquisition and getting people to your product, to your platform. Mm-hmm. In June, I will start a new challenge, job. More focus on customer retention. So on the second stage, let's say, of the customer life cycle. Usually, if you see marketing, you just like have like this double view of funnel. The first one is the part of acquisition. The second one is the part of retention. So I have been mostly focused on the first one. Now I will have to invest a lot of my time to know my new business, which is the customer retention and the definition of lifetime value and how we can bring the most of our customers and bring for them the most. So I'm really excited about that. It's going to be a game changer for me because I will have then the full view of the customer life cycle again in the e-commerce. So I'm coming back to the e-commerce domain. So really, really happy and looking forward to know my new business.
Exciting year ahead, a lot of learning, a lot of time to be invested in a new domain, but I'm sure a lot of transferable skills to bring with you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Daniel, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for your time.
And we'll speak soon. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.